I'll be there soon. Polaroid cameras, a video too, and the girls don't want just any old mic. They want hair in their eyes. Performance is crucial. You wrote out lines. Cue in the sync box. We ran out. Just any old blind. They want hair in their eyes. Thought I told you on the weekend that I'd be giving up drinking. Dubbing up copies, mail order time, promotion and picture, I think it's fine. Yeah, the girls don't want just any old line. They want hair in their eyes. Phone call from Fishwick, like it out of style. The level of interest makes it easy to smile. Yeah, the girls don't want just any old line. They want hair in their eyes. I thought I told you on the weekend that I'd be giving up drinking. I thought I told you on the weekend that I'd be giving up drinking. Giving up drinking.
Giving up drinking.
Yeah, well, at the time, I was probably actually thinking about giving up drinking. So, which I've done over a variety of times over my life. That's for sure. But yeah, I think it's just about that sort of feeling of like it's time to have a break.
It seems to be in the context of an alcoholic pornographer talking to an actress. You know what I mean? What's all the Fishwick and
oh, yeah, that's right.
A bit of flavour.
I think that's the backstory about it. Yeah. I have a slight obsession with that sort of stuff. With that, that business in particular.
I couldn't quite work out whether it was the actress who's an alcoholic or the jaded actual film director, but anyway.
Yeah, no.
Another great song.
Yeah, those sort of industries, you know, things like, I'm a big fan of boxing and just the people working and the behind-the-scenes sort of stuff in that, all of those sort of industries is very interesting to me. The sort of, you know, I just find them quite amusing, the whole, I mean, even though they're quite exploitative. But, you always wonder what goes on with those with the people that actually work in those industries. Giving up drinking, yeah, that's right. I think I remember getting a mate on guitar at the point of Wildcat, and that I'm writing that song on that, and it was quite, yeah. So, but yeah, that was a That was a cool song.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and we have returning co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, John, and hello all of you wonderful, amazing, great Foves fans and listeners.
What song are we reviewing this afternoon, Mike?
One of my amazing top favourites. We've even done a cover of it. I think we've even performed it in front of the Foves themselves, or three of the four of the Foves. And it is called Giving Up Drinking.
Giving Up Drinking, track 4, I think, on the Celebrate the Failure single. Not sure if we mentioned on Celebrate, but this single, for the first time in a long time, is evenly split. We've got two Doctor's songs and two Coxie songs. And this is a great song. This is an awesome song, Mike, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's why I've mentioned a few times before, I love this Celebrate the Failure single so much because of all the songs on them. And maybe it is something to do with Coxie, Doctor, Coxie, and then Doctor. Yeah, and it's a good even spread. I think if they would have, it's just not only the songs, but just that split up and the importance, as you heard, are gone on about how amazing those lyrics Celebrate the Failure are and how that's, to me, that's the big highlight of their professional career in terms of lyricism and identity in Australiana and there's heaps more. But, yeah, it's a good massive package, and Giving Up Drinking to end it all off with, it's a great end track as well. Awesome. It would be great for an album track, no doubt. Professionally recorded, like I've said with the other songs, amazing. How about you? You feel it's what you love this song because we play it together.
Yeah, no, I really like this song, Michael. In fact, I think you may have mentioned it the first time we ever met at Dangerous Dave's party. We found out we're Foves fans, and I think I just remember you going, "You got hair in your eyes," and you're singing that song, and I thought, wow, he knows the B-sides. He must be a hardcore fan.
It is.
We'll probably talk about this on other episodes, but because this is a candidate for a really good song, like it may, should it have gone on the album? I mean, it doesn't have keyboards on it, but could you see this maybe fitting on the album?
Yeah, this is what I feel. I feel as I've expressed this because this is fun for everyone to express what they feel about the artistry of how they've compiled the songs in each album. We've interviewed them a lot over the course of 100 and something episode that we're up to now. We understand if people have been listening very carefully when we're talking to Dr. Coxie, even Jack, just in general about when they're putting songs together, the different situations they were in, beginning, learning to write songs, middle, sort of with record deals, that type of 90s thing, how that system worked with singles. This is still just the tail end coming off. They're still doing their B-sides and singles, but it's not so much about that. Yeah, or I don't know what I'm trying to say, but my point is they write songs, and it could mean it might be a whole theme for an album, Future Spa, the whole let's go and do nostalgia when we grow up as kids or something, Lazy Highways, I don't know, where's it going? There's different subjects and things going on, but they just write songs. Now, I said that with The Thousand Yard Stare, it wasn't like, wow, there's this one full album package. There's some really good songs in this album, and to me, I feel it could go either way because when I said I enjoyed Thousand Yard Stare coming out, a new album, the first time I'm living in Melbourne and the first Foves album with singles and B-sides that were released fresh that I bought that I didn't get for free that I could share with the Foves community, meeting Madeline and Danny and a few others. And Karen, my good friend from Sydney, every now and then coming down to Melbourne quite frequently and watching a Foves gig or enjoying that release coming out together. But like I said that time in another episode, I'm talking to Coxie at the Hi-Fi bar at the end of the gig, getting some free beers off Ted, putting them in my jacket pocket because he had the band writer, he shared them with me, and talking and just going, wow, I'm really part of this, and just saying, oh, I love these songs, Coxie, but my eyes turned around, I want to hear something different because I was hearing it so often, and he's going, yeah, I feel the same. So my point is that when the other albums came out, I didn't see these songs as one joint of the album. I saw them always mixed in with Footage Missing and as time went on, the self-titled The Foves and my favourite Nervous Flashlights. But so this could easily fit on, this could be made up into an album. It could have fitted easily on Thousand Yard Stare, no doubt. And okay. I, like I pick eight B-side songs and eight songs of 1,000 Yards there that could fit in one package. Long-winded answer, but just expression. But yeah, there you go.
It's a rockin' song. I think, I don't know. It's just an opinion. Maybe it might have been a bit too heavy for 1,000 Yard. I know you've got Blue Belt and Astronaut Talk, but they're not quite as heavy as this. They're a bit more pop rock than rock. But you've never heard them play this song live, have you?
No, but when you just said that, I feel they're the same sort of type of heaviness. Yeah, it's not as funky or keyboards. But yeah, and I'm interested to hear what the other fans say. I think this just fits well, nicely, all of them do, you know, as an album or joint. But I would have loved to hear this song live. That's why we had to do a cover of it and be the first live performers and show the folks perform this one.
Just a bit of background. So this was one of the songs that they recorded maybe mid-99 as a last sort of like demonstration to Universal, who had just taken over Polydor. Like, should we leave this band on the label, on the roster, or should we sack them? And they did this dirt bike option, get into retail, tour went pro, and I think an early version of Give Up Your Day Job. And Universal said, thanks, but no thanks. You can go. None of the songs impressed them enough.
Wow.
And I was thinking, on the album 1,000 Yard, you've got Give Up Your Day Job, you've got Giving Up Drinking, and you've got Get Into Retail. So you've got that verb to get or give three times. So I suppose they had to chuck some of them out. Yeah. Giving, get. Yeah. What do you want to do, Michael? Music or lyrics first?
I'll go into the music. So we've got a structure of the intro, like unlike the other songs where they go jump straight right into it. This is intro, verse, pre-chorus, then verse, then pre-chorus, and then after that second pre-chorus we get into the full chorus, then verse, and then pre-chorus. Chorus, bridge, pre-chorus, chorus. Mouthful. I love saying the structures. I don't know. Might not like you like saying the chord progressions and stuff. Just to think about how they're writing these things, because as Foxy once famously said on his 1,000 Yards show gig, that we cut out a verse here and there from the, Dwarf on Dwarf single, and he's like going, you guys think the music just comes out. It doesn't work like that, folks. So anyway. Yeah, music. I love the heavy guitars, simple chord guitars. You will in a minute go through the chords, and I might play a few of those chords and things on bass, which is quite similar. Simple snare sounds.
Well, Mike, while we're talking about bass, we think this was maybe recorded, because they got the ask from Universal in June. So this was probably recorded in May 99 when...
Jack.
How should I put this? When Jack is slowly being phased out, or his end is coming up. So do you think it's Ted or Jack, or there's not enough in evidence? I don't know. I wonder if it's Ted or... Because it probably was recorded... Well, I don't know if at Hot House or Ted's House of Sound. Do you think it's Jack, or it could be anyone?
It could be anyone, because there's nothing jumps out. There's no fretless slide signature thing. There's no Ted doing that whole, like if we listen to Dirt Bike Option on the previous track, that's obvious Ted, and you'll hear my example on that. So there's nothing like that in there. I don't feel the song would have had room for it, but bass players like myself or someone else would find some room anyway if we really wanted to, whether it works or not. So it could be
so
anyone.
So pushy, bass players. So pushy.
Yeah. I just think, it's just... And I mean, for me personally, this type of music is different. Yeah, there's a lot of guitar-focused stuff I listen to, and there's a lot of vocal stuff focused and keyboards orchestrated. So it's not always just, you know, for me about the bass, it's the instrument I play and I actually sing. But I listen to them for their riffage and just the way they, together, the two guitars are doing these great things, and lots of music is like that, but I just like what they do. So I would never feel like you'd never have to have this funky stuff. But when Ted has brought it in slowly in this album, these B-sides, especially Nervous Flashlights and Footage Missing and stuff, my goodness, it's just there's room, and he fits it in, and he's basically, I can play along with it because he's just using scales, nothing tricky, and it just fits in because it's following the laws of attraction of theory. But catchy chord progressions. As I said, I do like how the structure goes. Keyboard sneaking in during the second verse. That round, you've got that unique, cool.
Yeah,
slowly building in, you know.
I was unsure. I was unsure if that was another bass or guitar feature, but keyboard, yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I like too. I don't hear these keyboard sounds very often when they're performing live. Yeah, sure, Nairobi Nights and Day Jobs, the classics, overplayed, still great songs, but you hear them performing. Maybe they've got, it's not as like the sound they're using on these B-sides, and you don't hear that sound live very often. Same with, say, Long Load or whatever else, you know, you don't hear that effect and stuff. And a bit might not need it performed live anyway, so this wouldn't need keyboards anyway. The keyboards don't ruin the song to me like the others, and it's just like a chord change or adding things in. It's like when you are, sometimes you've got a song and then in the second verse you want to sneak something, add a bit extra. It's like even Chili Peppers' Californication. In the second verse, they put this nice keyboard through, and then they re-release that on a best of album, and they put the keyboard through the verse first and second verse, which is cool, but there's a reason for why it just comes in the second verse to sort of build up and break things up. It's like doing different harmonies in the second verse compared to the first and stuff like that. Differentiation, so you know where you're at as a listener, like you got that direction. I think it's important, those things, in terms of arrangement. I did a course called Listening to Arrangements and Production. True story, late 90s. And I mean, that forced us to learn to listen to songs and how arrangement things are. Now, that same guy who gave me the lesson, I'm getting mates rates for him to mix some songs for me, and I'm having 45-minute conversations with him about each song, about, oh, I'm going to do this because of... And I'm like, wow, it's interesting. But, yeah, just the rest of them, in terms of the music, that was... Experimenting with that sound, I can kind of play a little bit of bass of it, which will be similar to a guitar. So maybe I'll go through that fast and then I'll leave it to you. So here we go. So the bass, pretty much the same as the guitar. Get your bra up, I'll be there soon. Sounds even like a... Sex Pistol song, the way I'm playing
pretty vacant or something. Actually, Michael, that bit is always, shout out to Madeline, it always reminds me of the sort of, like, of something rockabilly or like Elvis Presley's You're So Square, Baby, I Don't Care. Baby, I don't doodly do 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 do. Baby, you're so square, square, square. It sounds a bit Elvis, actually.
There you go, And then they're just... So, as I was saying, it's following it, so I won't go too much into it because you're going to explain it, but yeah, so I did the E into the F and then D and B flat, and then the chorus. Thought I told you on the weekend, G to B flat, that I'd given up drinking. Back into the normal verse, and then I love the bridge bit. And I play. You could play it a bit better, but they're asking ourselves, and then a beautiful bridge, B flat. Going wrong, putting things back how they were before, and then back to the verse. You could add things in there in the bass, like I might. I'll think about whether I'm going to show that too. But yeah, that's the music. How about you, John? Do you want to give us a full, better explanation with your guitar?
I'm pretty sure the guitar is drop D, just the low E down a step. And it all seems to be three-finger chords, like all sequential, like two... It's, I think, vaguely in the key of F, although, as you said, it slides up, you know, from E to F.
Yeah, yeah.
E, F, 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 E, F, 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 F. And it's just three fingers, two, two, two on the... On the three low strings with that down tune D, two, and then glide up to three.
Mm-hmm.
You get your bra off, which, yeah, exactly what you've done before. E, F, 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 F.
Mm.
And then, and the girls don't want any other line, I think, is up at the 12th fret. 12, 12, 12. Girls don't want just. And then down to 8, 8, 8. Any. Oh, hang on, what am I talking about? Hang on.
D.
Yeah, 12, 12, 12, 12.
Oh, G.
As you said,
yeah,
D,
you
B
are 12,
flat.
Sorry.
And then back to E flat. So it's just three finger chords, all sequential. And then the chorus is G. Like, when I mean the chorus, the thought I told you on the weekend, B flat. And the G is, the G is just, sorry, A, is it? Oh, no, maybe it's 5, 5, 5 up to 8, 8, 8. And that bridge bit you played, the F, E, D, C, B flat, A, F, It's a bit proggy, and it reminds me of something off Drive Through Charisma, one of, even a bit like Billionaires. Doctor writes these little cool, nifty little bridges. Well, Coxie does too, but yeah, it's just quite satisfying. It's a nice little break. And then it's just B flat F, yeah?
Yeah,
asking
yeah,
B flat F. Asking ourselves where it's going
wrong. Yep, that's it. And then after that, just back into the main riff. And John, I was able to play that really easily and quickly. To be honest, with all the listeners are like, oh, which songs are we getting ready for, like 5-10 minutes before our episode? And I thought, is it Giving Up Drinking or Dirt Bike Option? I'll listen to them both, playing along just quickly. But I've printed out a chord sheet of Giving Up Drinking. You put the title in red and you put the verse, chorus and the chords. Just play it along with it. It's so easy when you've got the chords in front of you to play. And even that bridge bit, oh, yeah, do. Oh, he's giving me the notes. I can go up and down. Great. But great fun song, simplistic to play. And no wonder why we chose something like that or Where the Label on the Outside is covers, because they're really easy to rehearse and come up with in the structures and the chords. If you just play it simply with standard tuning and, you know, for a guitar and a bass player, even a drummer just following along, there's not... It's very well structured and even, so... Cheers to them for
that.
And
the production's fantastic too. It's just very full. It's a very full sound. And it just, it's really.
It is.
Yeah, it's got a lovely groove to it. I wonder what you would have chopped off Thousand Yard. Maybe Valerie or
it's a tough one. TV Valerie's star. Just. No, definitely not.
What are the four you don't like?
Day Job of, is a brilliant song. I used to love that song. It's just overplayed. Oh, yeah, you're testing me now because I've given all my... I'd have to look up Google because I've given all my...
yeah, write what CDs you know, I guess.
Right, no, yeah, get rid of that one. Hang on, I'm going to tell you.
But you like First Day, yeah?
Oh, yeah, so the ones that I'd get rid of is... now I've crossed them out, can't even really...
TV, Astronaut, Valerie, White Collar Crime.
Oh, White Collar Crime, it's good. I'll get rid of that. I'll get rid of Valerie, and I'd get rid of, they're the two. How many is it on the album, not including
is it
Bigger Than Tina?
Yeah, Bigger Than Tina.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
But that's a bonus 9, track. 10,
11. Yeah, 11. So there's three. Yeah, Write What You Know, Colour Crime, White Collar Crime, and, yeah, Valerie, just those three, pretty much. So it's not like it's a huge amount, to be honest. That's not that much. Yeah. But, and I feel First Day on the Run, like, well, we're going to talk about that on that episode anyway. That should be like one of the first songs, but I can see why they chose Taking the Uni Student Out to the Country first. That's a really cool starter, and that's amazing to hear live. Anyway, back to the song that we're talking about.
Thought I told you on the weekend that I've been giving up drinking.
From a cask.
From a cask.
That's so goon.
Yeah, I'd take goon.
Effectively.
I'd take goon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people can tweet in, but please don't disrespect my culture growing up in Geelong. that is who I am. And I'm
cool.
And that is identity politics at its best.
I'm
always proud of who I am.
The sweet cask wine is not a bad thing to start on a young virgin palate. Because I started on beer and it's, you know, your first taste of beer, like, hey, what's happening? To that young palate, whereas, you know, a cooler bar, a lot of sugar in there.
And that made me laugh, Harley. I don't know why.
Hey.
What's going on? Like, I think any alcohol at 15 is, you know, so wild on the palate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no one way to do it really, is there? But cooler bar, it makes some sense. Not to me, but it makes some sense to you in Geelong there.
I mean, it was such a funny thing, that the concept of the cooler bar too, because you would have a Monet – or Manet impressionist painting on the front of some woman going down a stream in a boat with an umbrella, and you're thinking, wow, this is top class stuff.
This is what the greats have always drank.
Yeah. Monet must have got into box wine.
And, you know, Dad would knock off a cask on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then, you know, what do you know, footy's on. He'd blow up the goon bag and you start kicking that bad boy around. Yeah, it was really good. That was my first foray into football. You'd have to watch out because there's some sharp corners there if you do hit the
little pourer. Yeah.
The little nozzle thing.
The little nozzle, exactly.
Secret to the success of the Geelong Cats is they were practicing in the off-season.
It was like playing in space, wasn't it? With this anti-gravity.
You could also go down a grass hill with the box once you pull it apart.
Oh.
That could be a toboggan that you go down a grass hill with.
Right, so you really did learn a lot.
It was fun for all the family.
That's so good.
Should we move on to lyrics?
Yes, please. It's about a breakup, not understanding the other person, or maybe if it's, not understanding the other person's culture, personality, or the other sex, whether it's male not understanding female perspective or female not understanding male perspective. That's what I get out of the lyrics. I find it interesting in terms over the years, many relationships, just being in many relationships myself, long, short, you know, from different cultures, different countries, where they grew up. When I'm a different age, they're a different age, different experiences, a time you had on the planet Earth. The observation of friends in relationships from a heterosexual point of view, being young, being in the 90s, the decades are different, the zeros, the 10s, the 20s, etc. And also my friends in the, you know, that all same-sex relationships, their communities, just hanging out with them and hearing about their struggles with relationships and how that's different to the ones I'm involved in and different personalities. And over time you can change, like, and mix with people being in relationships and seeing it from the outside. I know this is quite deep. This is what I find in the song. It's just like a different ball game. Most of the time, pretty much it's the same structure a relationship is, but it's always a different ball game who you are. Men with women, women with men with men, women with women. And surely you'd think you'd understand over this time, you'd know this person and how it works. It's like trying to fix the relationship, like the hair in your eyes, ignorance or not seeing what's right in front of you, like the girls. Doctor, a male, he's looking at a metrosexual point of...
Ubersexual.
Uber. He's looking male going for a female, so he's seeing it in that perspective, but I'm wanting to open it up for the big picture for everybody. You don't just have to be a male and be downturning, the relationship problem's always a female. It's just that his... On the other end is the female. She wants hair in her eyes. All the girls don't want just any old guy. They just want hair in their eyes. So they're ignorance, not seeing what's right in front of them in terms of potential relationship. As a young age, they might want things as, you know, big, fast cars, rich, security, whatever, or who knows. But it's also like putting people on a pedestal. Getting yourself act together. I'm told you on the weekend I'm giving up drinking. I'm going to change my attitude. So stop the fun and be focused on you and being responsible for the potential of our future in this relationship, especially because when you sort yourself out first and you live your best life first, love yourself first, have plenty of time on your earth on your own first. So I've seen this with people who have been in relationships, two or three divorces. So they've been married twice, three times even. There's been that first step where they had that 6 months or a year off after years of being in a relationship, being single, and then getting into another one. Sometimes that works well. Sometimes they need more time to love themselves first or understand what it's like living as a single person as opposed to being in a relationship. So when they're choosing their relationship, they're not choosing it because they want to be in a relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. I know people say that's what I'd like to do. And there's nothing wrong with being single, obviously, if you actually want to do that. But if you do want to be in a relationship, just make sure what are your demands, your goals, your dreams, your finance, if it's long term, understand that and be comfortable with that. So that is that person going to, you'll fall in love with them, but are they going to fit with those values? So that's a full-on, deep, massive thing. And it, as we go through even just saying that without going through each bit, we can.
You went deep.
Yeah. What do you feel like? That's what I got out of that song in general. Like, that's how I see it. Lyrics for you, John?
Yeah. Yeah, I've put this in the category of doctor songs that I'm not... I just... What you say, you've said in the past, you let the lyrics impressionistically just wash over you. And I think you've said some important things now, like heating hair in your eye. Like, obviously, when Doctor's writing this, he's just turned 30. So you think, you know, we've just lost our record deal. Maybe it's time for me to hang up the balaclava and get out of rock and roll, to quote Tism. But he's turned 30, so giving up drinking, you know, you can't drink or have the rock style lifestyle you had when you're in your 20s, you know, 30. Mm. And I was just thrown a bit by some of the... Maybe it's a man who's fallen in love with a woman in the adult porn industry. I mean, there's all that bit about Fishwick and dubbing off coffees and...
Yep,
maybe it's like a straight-laced man's fallen in love with a woman that maybe he shouldn't have fallen in love with, to quote the Buzzcocks. Obviously, I think of this doctor's misguided modelling career? Is he sort of... Is kicking on? Is this an apology for kicking on, like giving up drinking? We've turned the page on our wild rock and roll boy antics of a few years earlier. I don't know. Let's just go through the lyrics. So yeah, you get your bra off. I'll be there soon. Polaroid cameras and video too.
Definitely so, porn or something. Yeah,
and then with locked in like with that. Fishwick, it just I see yeah. it's a porn yes. shoot.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can see that. And I'll demonstrate what I. That big spiel of what I feel in the lyrics when we get to them. But yeah, no, I agree. Yep.
Yep. The girls don't want just any old line. They want hair in their eyes. So if he's talking about falling in love with the porn actress, I mean, it's 2000. So this is the era when people are talking about the new sensitive new age guys, you know, and, you know, they want to find the woman's G spot. And it's all about, you know, it's more than just a big old dick. Girls want to have fun. They want to have a meaningful relationship with the man. It's not just about corny pickup lines, you know. It's about something more meaningful than just casual sex or something, I guess. Performance is crucial. You're rolling out lines. Cue to the sink. Ran out of time. So my mind, like, performance is crucial. Viagra's just been invented now and men are expected to perform. You're rolling out lines. Cue to the sink. Why are you going to the sink? You're going to... My mind just goes a bit vulgar there. Is he talking about going to the toilet or and other things like that? Any of those lines jump out to you or?
Yeah, so just that you are right. I agree with you when you look into it deeper, like which I might have just gone over quickly through in terms of the Polaroid cameras perform on time and things like that. But when I see the girls don't want just any old line, they want hair in their eyes. We ran out of time and something else, the line before that I haven't got it written down, but...
Cue to the sink.
No, something else. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Performance is crucial, yep.
Performance is crucial in terms of in the relationship, saying the right thing. They don't just want any odd line. You've got to do the whole structure of the relationship. And when I say relationship, it doesn't mean it has to be this long. It's a romantic relationship. It could be very just sexual, very attractive. It could be at any age. It could be just short. It could be not the one-night stand or whatever it is. But it's just saying the right things to get them into the sack with you or to do the right things to meet their expectations. And then, yeah, that was a very rock star thing to do and that was a drunken night. So I'll be giving up drinking. So maybe it could be into I'm not going to do this sort of stuff anymore or we're going to take it seriously. So I just looked into things differently and this is what I love to share that listeners out there, tell us your interpretation. But, John, I think you're very spot on compared to my interpretation of it. So, continue.
Dubbing off copies, mail order time. So, it's, as you say, Fishwick is an interesting suburb, but you said there's rock climbing gyms there and even, did you mention there's a childcare centre there or something? Like, it's not as dodgy as... For everyone in Australia in the 90s knew Fishwick was, you know, fireworks and porn, but... What sort of suburb is it?
Do you go there's a lot of stuff out there. Yeah, well, I was trying to go out there regularly. It's only a 20-minute drive, so it's not very far. Easy, not even on a big highway or anything, just a few stoplights from where I am in Canberra. Now, I just didn't like the type of rock climbing gyms there was because it's more of a bouldering, but there's those. There's a kids rock climbing play dream thing that I've taken the kids out to because it's just got warehouses, so it's got room for stuff like that, and it's got... all your hardware house stuff and big factories and things like that. And yeah, my nephew's childcare center's there, where he goes for daycare a couple of days a week, and then the other days he's at preschool. There's like a vintage old record style place. I should actually jump in there and have a look at that. That'd be quite interesting. So there's quite a varied things. It's not just, it's quite, I suppose, big, you know, and you've got a big shopping center and everything there, but you got to, it's the thing you drive around on the main sort of roads to get to each place. That's one. It's like that, just the way sort of Canberra's structured out. There's no, like, if it was, say, somewhere in Melbourne or whatever, the infrastructure, you might have trams going through and be easier. But, yeah, that's Fyshwick.
Fyshwick. The bridge, that's, yeah. The bridge is where it gets a little bit serious. Asking yourselves where it's going wrong, yeah.
Oh, I was just, sorry to jump in there. I was just going to say that's probably where I get most of it, asking ourselves where it's going wrong, putting things how they were back before. I can't tell you what to do because nothing can possibly get to you. So I feel it's like a communication thing. So that's where I went on that whole big rant about different types of relationships and how they're all different and a perspective for everyone, because there's not a lot of information just in that bridge, just to sort of say, we can't, I can't see it from your perspective, whoever you are, this significant other, I've tried this and that and the other. Nothing's getting through to you, not understanding my verbal and nonverbal cues and things like that. So it might have started out as something like the one night stand, or it's just going to be fun, it's not going to be like that, but hang on, we're kind of connecting, and why does it have to sort of end? I don't, that's just how I feel about it. Anyway.
Maybe it's about two porn actors, a male and a female, that actually fall in love on the job and wanting to know, I don't know, who knows. Putting things back how they were before. So we were talking a few weeks about common assessment task and talking about coming down to the coast. We always break up. So, yeah, doctors writing songs about relationships with women quite around this time. Yeah. We haven't talked. Is this on Prefer Others? I hope it is.
I think it is.
Let's have a look. Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll have a look. While I'm looking that up, Michael, he Polaroid cameras. So, Doctor photo albums. He's talked about cameras and photos in a few songs in this period of their career. So, yeah, maybe that's another little theme he has. Giving Up Drinking is track 7. So, just in the first third of the album. So, yeah, I reckon they think quite highly of it.
Yeah, yeah, I you'd have to, man. Come on, guys. When are you going to get it that you can write such amazing songs? But they are just there's so many of them. This is one that's up there. I know we're big fans, but I've shown you and expressed, I don't like that song as much, but this is one. It's like, you guys are just such good songwriters, a whole bunch of so many really, really good top quality songs. This is one of them.
Great. Well, Michael, thank you for joining us on this episode.
Great. Thank you once again, John, and all your lovely listeners. One, we always talk about the Fools.
Baby, you're so square, square, square. Madeline.
Horrific.
Fuck, I hate that.
Do you guys want food?
Me.
Yeah,
I was going to try.
Take a break, sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, I need to calm down.
Pretty
good, Doug.
The
Karagi bites.
One thing you like having.
Full thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
What do you recommend?
Go for it, mate. Let's do it.
Are you still a
vegan? Oh, vegetarian?
Yeah.
Just doctors, just the vegan.
I just need some chips or something.
I didn't really have any.
Sorry if that sounded weird.
Maybe some sort of snacking.
Get into it, mate. What are you having?
Well, I don't want to go completely.
No, I'm going to have something. I'll have something, for sure.
Have you heard old boomers, like when they hear that Gen Zs are drinking less, they're like genuinely sad.
That gets me.
They're like, oh,
it makes me sad.
Alcohol's down. They're like, God, it's a shame. What's happened?
Fucking pathetic is what it is. Get off your phone and bloody suck piss.
Stop running. You can't not be drinking and be running. You got to be running from something. That's how it works. Mm. There's got to be something going on. Oh, yeah, God. I love it.
Well, I've never been a drinker, so it's just kind of one of the secrets to our longevity is that we've never had arguments over who's going to drive, because it's always been me.
So how did you plug into the Melbourne music scene?
We had absolutely no idea about how to plug in. So we were literally going in and be looking at, like, in the phone book for record companies and literally going and giving them a tape and hoping that they would listen.
Walking around to pubs like the Tote and everything, asking if they had somebody who looked after the bands, handing them a tape. We'd go up. I remember a few really cold winter nights going up and putting up posters, like starting at about midnight on Brunswick Street with a bucket of glue and so yeah, and I'm sure it's a sort of similar things to what you did, because there's obviously, you know, it goes without saying how much it's changed in terms of the internet. So, but we had no manager, we had no plan. It was just enthusiasm and naivety, really.
And it was all fun, wasn't it? I mean, going up in the middle of the night with putting up posters was fun.
It was it was actually. I mean, as bizarre as that sounds now, but yeah,
you felt you were doing something. So.
Yeah.
I'd be giving up drinking.
Of course.
Thought I told you on the weekend that I'd be giving up drinking.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Come and have a drink, mate.
No, thanks.
Come and have a drink.
No, I'm just not.
Only take a minute. Come on, come and have a drink.
Look, mate, I've given up drinking for a while.
What's wrong with you, you bastard? Why don't you come and drink with me? I just brought you 50 miles late and dust and you won't drink with me. Look, what's wrong with you?
What's the matter with you people, huh? You sponge on you. Burn your house down, murder your wife, rape your child, that's all right. Not have a drink with you, not have a flaming bloody drink with you. That's a criminal offence. That's the end of the bloody world.
You're mad, you bastard.
I'll tell you a story. Well, you know that film Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges, about being a country singer, touring around, big drinker, creates problems. I was sitting there when the film came out and watching it, and I had a bottle of Jameson's in my pocket and watching the film, and Jeff Bridges' performance is so beautiful. I'm watching this going, man, driving around the country, singing songs, drinking. What a life, man. Look, I want that life. It took me 15 seconds before I realised that is my life.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. And there's look, that the romance of that, and I'm not sure, of course, how it is in the comedy world and in the writing world and the performing world, but there's a part of me that doesn't want that to go, and there's detritus and there's damage caused from it. But at a certain point, at least in my life, and I don't encourage it for everyone, if you know, you can see the way I look, it's pretty obvious that
great.
Thank you.
You do, but look great.
Yeah, thank you. But it's and the whole cliche is if you're pursuing that, and let's get messed up, and be a dickhead, then you're a dickhead. But if you that kind of traveling reprobate kind of traveling musician thing, I still I love that.
Phone call from Fishwick, your donor lines, the level of interest makes it easy to find.